And away we go. Welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. It's issue 52, if you're keeping track on the podcast side of things. If it's Sorcerer Radio where you're listening to us, it's just another issue.
It's never just another issue with Mighty Marvel.
This is true. This is true. With Mighty Marvel Geeks, it's...
I mean, what are we, a team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
I like the sound of that.
That's about right.
I I'm an agent of chaos, a catalyst of chaos. Just ask my ex-wife, you know.
So we are, which I can't believe I had lost a whole set of drops. And, oh, there they are.
So this is where we fill time by asking each other how our Thanksgiving break went?
We could do that. How was your Thanksgiving break, Eric? It's co-host Eric on mic. We're on Sorcerer Radio. Well, it's... Turkey still having major effect.
Tryptophan taking hold. No, mine was good. Ate way too much. Thought I was going. You know, I had this like passing idea to go brave Walmart on Thursday evening, Thanksgiving night, when they're doing like the Black Friday stuff early. I drove by, and not only was their lot full, but the lots of a restaurant, a bank, another restaurant, those were all full across the street from this place, and people were parking alongside the road. So I said, heck with this. I went home, slept in, came back, got me my Christmas shopping and my birthday shopping for my son wrapped up, and the presents are wrapped, and the presents are hid, and, you know, it was a good day. How about yours, dude?
I worked Thanksgiving. But hey, it's the price you pay when you're in entertainment. So,
well, that's true.
Years past, we've been off Thanksgiving Day, but I still work 6 days that week. Well, this week we were 7 days for the week, and I got odd man out and worked Thanksgiving. Which, with my band, we only had one full timer; the other three were subs. So, I felt more comfortable being there instead of having a fill in for me, because I could hit the subs and get them dialed in. And give show quality to its perfection.
Perfection is our goal. Excellence will be tolerated.
I sound like a Disney cast member, don't I?
Maybe just a little. Yeah, you should do something about that.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk some Marvel, how about?
How about? So you found a story that...
I did.
Dear to my heart. I was excited when I saw you post
dear
this.
To mine as well, and it's a perfect transition from Disney to Marvel, because we are talking about a similar looking character, if nothing else.
Hey,
2015 marks the return of none other than Howard the Duck. Thompson can rock. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, Rodney Peete's wife is, before she became Mrs. Peete, is on here too. She was the keyboard player.
Okay, cute.
And then Tim Robbins is in it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a great cast.
It was.
Everyone bashes the movie. It's like, okay, it was the 80s, folks. Look at some of the other stuff that was out. Gremlins.
Yeah.
Back to the Future.
It was ahead of its time. It was trapped in the 80s. That's our story. We're sticking to it.
Works for me.
But there is a brand new ongoing series coming out, written by Chip Zdarsky with artwork by Joe Quinones.
Yeah.
Zdarsky says, hey, remember how you stayed past the credits of Guardians of the Galaxy and saw a talking duck? It was a little confusing because you were expecting Iron Man or Thanos or Batman or something. Well, this comic will do its best to not confuse you, provided you're cool with talking ducks. And hey, you know, we're on the Disney station. We should be familiar with talking ducks by now.
What talking ducks?
Wait. There's a talking duck in a sailor suit, has kind of a speech impediment.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway.
Mickey Mouse, gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. He goes on to say, when I was a kid, I had a weird uncle, Uncle Fred. How come every weird uncle is named Uncle Fred? That's all I want to know. Who had a run of Howard the Duck comics and the Black and White magazines. He says, I would sneak away whenever we visited him to read them. Not Playboys, not Sports Illustrated, Howard the Duck. Think about that for a minute.
See, I don't remember the Black and Whites.
Yeah.
But I do remember the first drug.
I vaguely remember the Black and Whites. He says, I was hooked on that duck immediately and was super excited for the movie that we were just talking about. From George Lucas, creator of Star Wars. How could it go wrong, he says.
Hey, I didn't see anything wrong with it.
He said, Steve Gerber is the guy who actually introduced Howard the Duck. This was back in 1973's Adventure into Fear number 19. And I don't know how they thought this was a good idea. He was a supporting character in a Man-Thing tale. Okay. Man-Thing and Howard the Duck. I ain't making this stuff up, man. But Howard eventually got his own comic series, which started in 1976. And it tackled a lot of different issues, but it also just did it very tongue-in-cheek. I mean, it was very satirical, very, you can't take it too seriously if it's a talking duck smoking a cigar.
So it's Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, almost, except, you know, I don't think Scrooge smoked, but maybe he did. He just gave it up.
I think he did in the early years.
Well, he must have gone to the nicotine patch. He says, I think keeping the tone is important, but it has been a while since Howard's been on the scene. There is a whole new world of stuff to exasperated by. He said the character's going to have roots going back to the original version. He says he keeps rereading the old ones just to get a rhythm to it, he says. So I like that. I like the fact that he's going to try to stay true to the original tone as much as possible.
Yeah, I think that's great as well. Because the original tone was, I mean, I've talked about it in the past. If you've listened, been a fan of the show, you've heard me with my comic book picks of the week pick some of the obscure stuff. And, you know, you might go, yeah, he's just picking it, but he doesn't buy it. I got Eric right now as a witness. I picked all 5 issues of all new Dupe. Dupe.
I am looking and I am seeing a Dupe cover.
Dupe.
Dupe. Dupe. Dupe. Dupe. Dupe. Dupe. Dupe.
I Dupe love up. The obscure. And Howard is what got me started on the obscure. You know, when that book came out, if I saw it at the time, my convenience store, I got it.
Yeah.
But,
I mean,
of course, if Star Wars was on the shelf first...
Well, that's understandable.
Never
that's
understandable. Mind.
But, Howard the Duck by Chip Zdarsky and Joe Quinones. And, guys, if y'all are listening, I do apologize for butchering your names, in case I'm butchering your names. Now, if I'm getting it right, you know, hey, I'll admit I'm a genius. But if not, I do apologize. And it does launch in March 2015.
Excellent. Right there with Princess Leia.
There you go.
So, if we did butcher your names... Come on the show. We'll talk to you.
In person.
You can tell us how
to pronounce
it right.
And you can instruct us in person.
Hey, it worked with Joe Caramagna.
Well, there you go.
Cool. Now, of course, between Thanksgiving and now, or our last issue and now, there's been quite a few things that have broke. Like this around the week of Thanksgiving, X-Men Apocalypse has been cast. And, if you saw that Star Wars trailer, that little teaser trailer with the...
Was there a teaser trailer that came out?
The way I watched it, it might as well have been the movie. I think my playlist said I watched it about 75 times. And I'm on the low end from what I've been seeing people post as playlists they've seen it. But, of course, you know, in that trailer is the Astromech on the soccer ball. I want that action figure now. That's all I got to say.
I saw where somebody posted online a picture of it, and they just put, instead of Wally, it was Ball-E. I was just thinking, okay, that won the internet today.
Yeah. If you remember the X-Wing pilot that you see, or the fighter pilot that you see in it, Oscar Isaac, he's the one who's been cast as Apocalypse. So going from Star Wars to X-Men, even though it's not Disney Marvel Studios, it's Fox, which we got issues elsewhere with Fox. Apocalypse or In Sabah Nur, has been named and has Oscar Isaac, according to Variety magazine. The film, which is going to be set in the 80s, will reportedly feature younger versions of Jean Grey, Cyclops, and Storm. Rumor has it Jean Grey will be a very recognizable name. Yeah, I see you over there.
Okay, I have to interrupt you. Would it not be hilarious if, since this is set in the 80s, there's a scene where they're at the movies and they're watching Howard the Duck?
That would be funny.
That would be funny if they took the clips from that movie. I don't know. I just think that would be hilarious. But yeah.
Well, let's see how many people, you know, I don't know if the people from Fox or Marvel Studios, how many of them actually listen to us and get ideas.
Well, they should.
But if they want to play on Oscar Isaac and the whole Star Wars bit, you've got Empire Return that you can also show clips of as well, since those were distributed by Fox.
I'm kind of with you.
So
it'll be interesting to see what all kind of Easter eggs they throw in there.
Yeah, the 80s. There's so much.
Oh God, yes.
There's so much. And just about with every other major role for a woman of color in the past, Lupita Nyong'o from 12 Years a Slave,
okay,
has been rumored to play Storm. And of course, she is in episode 7 as well.
Yeah, yes, that's true.
So
you know, if I were to be an actor, if I were to try to be an actor, and if you gave me, if my agent says, look, we could slide you in as a character in this franchise and a character in this franchise, you think I ain't going to go for it?
I'm still waiting for my call to come in and do some reshoots on episode 7 for the scenes that I wasn't in yet.
I'm just upset that the rumors did not come around to me playing Doctor Strange. But, you know, we'll get more on that in later.
Hey, I'm all set for Captain America.
Oh, yes, you are. Oh, God, that jersey is styling, man.
Sublimation Kings.
Edo.
So, but check out the review for that on WeebyGeeks.net. I did a review on the jersey. But, you know, X-Men Apocalypse is coming to theaters May 27th, 2016. Okay, that... Now with Oscar Isaac and Lupita, May 27th, it's almost a slap in the face now. It's like, we're going to take the Star Wars date.
Well,
with Star Wars characters.
Yeah. And when did you say that was coming out?
May 27th, 2016.
Well,
that was the traditional pre-Disney. That was the traditional Star Wars opening weekend, Memorial
Well,
weekend.
Yeah, but I tell you, there's another Marvel movie that's coming out earlier that month, which would be Captain America Civil War.
That's a segue here.
Yeah, yeah. Funny how that works out. That is set to hit theaters May 6th of 2016. And if you remember the end of Winter Soldier, where Brock Rumlow's character has been horribly, horribly burned, and they're putting him on a stretcher, and you're thinking to yourself, how on earth did this guy survive basically getting a drive-by from a helicarrier? Well, that's because the powers that be at Marvel wanted to bring him back as Crossbones, which, of course, you could tell by the crossed straps on his chest, for Captain America's Civil War. And there's rampant speculation about it anyway. And Frank Grillo, the guy who plays him, I think he's as much a fan of it as anybody else. He says, quote, Winter Soldier was only a taste of what's to come with the next film, and I couldn't be more humbled and excited. He said, they just kind of called and said, what kind of shape are you in? We need to get a body scan.
Ooh.
Now, that is a very good sign. Because
so they just sent him through TSA at the airport.
that would be cheaper, I'm sure. But basically, what they do is nowadays is they scan you, it's like a 3D scanner,
right?
So that way, when they design your costume, there's less alterations to be done because it already fits because they have your measurements. On the other hand, you can't go to like Buffalo Wild Wings and just like splurge on, you know, 25-cent wing night. If you once you've done that,
ruins my day.
Yeah, well, you know. But he is very hopeful for a return. He wants to come back. He loves the character. He says he is just vicious. I like the idea that it's no holds barred, and that's pretty much the way that Rumlow was in the movie and Crossbones is in the comics. I mean, he says, I love the physicality. We all know what Crossbones represents in his world. And yeah. Crossbones is really one of the few people that can kind of go toe-to-toe with Cap and, you know, kind of hold his own a little bit.
Yep.
So, yes, I hope he comes back because I want to see him in the skull mask and tank top and all that.
Yeah.
And now the way that he got injured in the Winter Soldier, there's a perfect reason to have it.
Yeah, because then they could do the nanotechnology on him. And then, you know, that's how he's able to, if I'm remembering my characters right, that's how he could then learn all the fighting patterns of everyone he faces, including Cap, and is able to mimic them right back.
Or I thought that was Taskmaster.
Okay. See, I had my characters confused.
Well, they both have a skull motif mask going.
That's where my confusion lied.
That's okay. That's why I'm here.
Pardon the interruption. I have some news, which I believe you will find most interesting.
And, yeah, Jarvis did good on this one.
Jarvis is a Budinsky, we'll admit, but he's a good one.
Jessica Jones has been cast. Breaking today. Well, breaking at the time of this recording.
Yes.
Jessica Jones has its leading lady. If you remember the show, Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
I remember hearing about it.
Kristen Ritter.
Ritter.
Will star as the lead character, Jessica Jones.
Nice.
Ritter,
I like that.
Ritter will play Jessica Jones, the cynical, sardonic, and tough as nails, but innately cool and sexy title character. This will mark Ritter's first role in the Marvel Universe, following TV roles on The Blacklist, NBC's doomed Mission Control series, which didn't even make it to its premiere, and as well as Breaking Bad.
There you go.
So
she brings some theatrical chops to it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking forward to this along with the other the street level phase.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure I'm not saying
street level
character.
Oh, yes. I think they said street level phase, but it's the street level characters as well.
Yeah.
Which, okay, so now we're talking the different tiers of Corsican here.
Yeah.
For one, my favorite non-Marvel artist, Bruce Zick, in The Zone Continuum, which I'm going way back on that one.
Just a little.
But, okay, so now instead of A-list, B-list, C-list, D-list, we have street level and B-list and A-list. And
well, you know, Marvel has yet to put something out that's purely a standalone, that's right, not connected to the whole universe. So I'm looking forward to see how these Netflix series tie in to the cinematic universe.
Yeah. Well, since these are going to be coming out right around the same time as Avengers Age of Ultron, I mean, here's an opportunity for each one of these shows, you know, in their 13-episode run.
Yeah.
To start off with tie-ins to the ramifications of the movie at the street level, especially for New York.
Yeah, so, because you imagine there are a lot of stories after the Avengers Battle of New York.
Right. But I think if they go that far back to the first film, I think they're shooting themselves in the foot. They need to come in as Age of Ultron's happening.
There's nothing that says that they're going to go all the way back.
True.
Now, if you want to have like a flashback or two to what they, you know, like, oh, say, yeah, if there was a character who says, oh, God, I remember this the last time around. Well, I need to do, I have to do something this time.
I agree. That I have no problems with. Yeah. But I think to start up, Chitauri, which was just here. You know, we saw the Battle of New York affect our own neighborhood and pick up from there. Okay, you're now 2-3 years behind.
Yeah.
And you got to catch up to the rest of the universe.
I agree with you. You can't dwell in that time frame too long.
Right.
Flashback to it, that's great. To show, you know, to show where you've come since then, that's great.
Right.
But, I agree with you. Need to start off in the here and now.
Speaking of flashbacks, how about that little Agent Carter?
Oh, man. You know, she was one of my favorite characters in Captain America, the very first one.
Right.
And it's just, she just had, all right, I am a sucker for brunettes. We'll just go ahead and call that. And so here's this gorgeous brunette with, you know, you just want to like pause it. So you just stare in their eyes and I'm just going to leave it there.
And of course it says blonde across Eric's forehead.
Yeah, just
that's how much of a sucker for brunettes.
But then you see her pull out a pistol and just kind of like ping, ping, ping. It's kind of like, God, I love this woman. And so you at the end of the first movie, you are waiting. You're dying for some kind of payoff scene when they thaw him out.
Yeah.
Because you know you want to. And there was a deleted scene in the first Avengers movie to where he's looking over the roster from the O'Halloran Commandos, and there's her number. And so you know she's alive.
Right.
And so in Winter Soldier, where you get to have that payoff scene, and it just breaks your heart to see that, my God, she's suffering from Alzheimer's now. So with Agent Carter coming in, and how long from now? Not long. January 6th.
Yep. A little less than a month.
But you have on Marvel's website at marvel.com two new teaser trailers that are out. And I'm just saying, as much as I look forward to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it came out, I'm looking forward to this even more. Because now you're getting back to the days of founding S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. The old SSR days.
Yes, the old SSR days, the period look, you're in the 40s. And of course, in these teaser trailers, you see that she's not exactly the stereotypical woman from the 40s.
Right.
And you could tell just in these teasers that there are some stereotypes from the time that she's really going to be stepping on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this should be a very interesting series, to be sure.
My hopes from this series is we're going to see enough of the Howling Commandos.
And oh, yes.
I've pitched this before on this show. I still think it's a great idea. But if they ever let Cap know that Coulson's alive, immediately, Howling Commandos spinoff. Coulson and Cap could record, or Chris Evans and...
Clark Gregg,
thank you. Welcome. Could record all their segments in one day, because they could either be sitting at a conference table, walking down the hallway, chilling in Lola, whatever. But it starts off Cap regaling back, or not Cap, Coulson regaling back the stories to Cap about the Howling Commandos after he chilled out, went on ice.
After he became a capsicle, as Tony put it.
True. So I would love to see that.
I think we're going to get to see some Howling Commandos in this series. I mean, just the flashbacks that they've done with her in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
I mean, you've seen Marita, you've seen Dum-Dum.
Yep.
I want to see more of it. I want to see more Gabriel. I want to see more Fallsworth. You get the opportunity to see the romance between them, Bill, because she does mention, you know, this is the guy she eventually married.
Right.
So.
Well, I've got the perfect title for the Howling Commando show, especially if they go with the Coulson Cap banter, you know, beginning and end of each segment or each episode. Marvel's Tales of the Howling Commandos.
I like that.
You heard it here first. If it happens, I want my residuals.
There you go.
So, but on that note, let's take a quick break. And you're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks with Eric and Mike here on Sorcerer Radio.
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join Weeby Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to Weeby Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at weebygeeks.net. Weeby Geeks, your voice for the Geek Revolution. Want to know more?
Welcome to gaming sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0. We have the technology. Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices. Better, stronger, faster. Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next. Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio. With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio. SRSounds.com.
Chip and Company is your daily Disney fix for Disney news, park planning, giveaways, and so much more. Visit our friends from Chip and Company at chipandco.com to get you up to date on all things Disney.
A magic beyond anything you could ever imagine.
Meet the Magic is a site where you can find Disney sites, blogs, and fun new Disney friends. Learn how to save money or make your trip more magical.
Prepare to have your senses awakened.
Visit meetthemagic.com and follow her on Twitter at meetthemagic, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
It's an adventure too magical to miss.
Woohoo! That was scary.
Dan Barnes here, inviting you to take a ride with me on an all-new edition of E-Ticket Time. I'll be playing the best ride-through audio from all your favorite Walt Disney World attractions. No fast pass required here. Just tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, only on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com.
I am a Jedi. Like my father before me.
Are you a fan of Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel? Well, look no further than JediMouseketeer.com. On the Geeky Fan site, you'll find the latest news, videos, information on movies, comics, and more. Check out JediMouseketeer.com and follow him on Twitter at JediMouseketeer, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
Getting ready for your next visit to Walt Disney World? Well, why not check out Disney Trip Tips Fridays at 1 p.m. on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com with me, Sandy Alexander. Disney favorites from the parks, resorts, movies, and TV, and the tips that the family and I have used on our many visits to Walt Disney World. And if you have any tips or photos you'd like to share, you can post them at the Disney Trip Tips Facebook page. You can even follow me on Twitter at Disney Trip Tips. Disney Trip Tips on Sorcerer Radio. All Disney music all day long. SR Sounds.
This is Jim Zub, the writer of Disney Kingdom's Figment, and you're listening to Sorcerer Radio.
And welcome back to Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio. It is Mike and Eric bringing you all the DC, Dark Horse. Marvel goodness.
Marvel. Let's all say it together. Welcome to the show, Mighty
Valiant
Marvel
Geeks.
You had one job, man. One job.
This is one of those times we need Billy Crystal to go, "You look marvelous." As I do a real sad Billy Crystal impersonation. But you know who you are, darling.
The scary part is, I know who you're ripping on.
It's Fernando.
Yeah. Yes, Fernando.
I now got to find that clip. I have it from the Billy Crystal album. But we're not talking Billy Crystal. We're talking Marvel and unfortunately.
Let's go ahead and just get it out there.
Jarvis.
You are not authorized to access this area.
Well then.
I guess I can't get out of it that easily. Jarvis, unlock this. We need this going.
I guess I don't get out of it that easy, do I?
You don't get out of it that easy.
Well, we're going to talk about the fantastic try this again. The Fantastic... Fine. The Fantastic Flop. That work?
I think the problem is you're using the word fantastic.
Well, he didn't bleep us when I said Fantastic Flop, so I'm assuming that worked.
For you, sir, okay. Anything.
Right. See, just got to...
Jarvis must not have had a good Thanksgiving, and Tony must have overworked him. So here we go with the Fantastic Flop. I don't know why this show we have the Fantastic Flop is the movie we're going to pick on. We Be Geeks, we've got Batman Heart Superman that we pick on over there. Well, last show we talked about the official, or we talked about the synopsis of the movie. Well, comicbookmovie.com has reported that allegedly the official, as I'm doing air quotes, which you can't hear in the microphone.
Official!
Air quote. It's my air quote. Okay, I'm stretching now.
The official.
Yeah, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You know what I mean? Know what I mean? Official.
Say no more. yes, synopsis. I will break into a bit of Monty Python every once in a while. Go figure.
Synopsis for The Fantastic Flop. Brought to you by Fox Studios. I'm just going to read this as is from Fox, according to one of the various venues, like Rotten Tomatoes, saying that this is what the plot is. This is a quote, "The Fantastic Four, a contemporary reimagining of Marvel's original and longest-running superhero team," which they failed to mention, which is about to end. Centers on four young outsiders who teleport, so now we're in Star Trek, to an alternate and dangerous universe. Okay, so we're not in Star Trek. We're somewhere, we're in Contact now, and right over there is Jodie Foster.
It's Sliders, is what it is.
That too. Which alters their physical form in shocking ways. How revolting.
Shocking, indeed.
Oh, what a feeling. Okay, never mind. Yeah. Their lives upended, the team must learn to harness their daunting new abilities. Daunting. Why do I feel like when I say daunting, I got to be dashing as well? And work together to save Earth from a former friend turned enemy, which would be...
Doomfinch Mercs Evil Incorporated.
Damn. So... Not only does it look like we're not going, does it look like we're going to be a party of a found footage reboot, where Dr. Doom, Doom from Schmertz, is a computer programmer and the team wears sexy hazmat suits, but we're now going to see the flop travel between universes and be played younger than ever before.
Okay, first of all, this official... synopsis. How is this official a synopsis any different from the leaked synopsis that we have already seen and made copious amounts of jeering fun about?
Because this time they throw in the slider element of transport.
So it can't be official without some sort of transport.
Exactly. So, well, this isn't particularly a bad thing, because we got the cast of Kate Mara, Michael B. Jordan, Miles Teller, and Jamie Bell. It could be a disastrous thing if the writing skews to a more hip and fresh attitude to fit the young cast members. Again, Doomfenschmerz is a computer programmer.
By the time this movie finally makes it to theaters, that's just going to roll off your tongue.
Yeah.
Just naturally, it's like, oh, well, it's Doofenshmirtz.
We got to find someone to draw up Doofenshmirtz in a Doom costume.
Oh, God. I may have to try that while we're over, like, holiday break. I may.
And when this movie comes out, I will use that as the cover art with the Fantastic Four logo. Or we'll figure out a way of replacing Doom with Doofenshmirtz.
You know how... When Disney acquired Lucasfilm,
we're just bad.
Yeah, no, we're just chaotic neutral for those of you who played Dungeons and Dragons. But you know how when Disney acquired Lucasfilm back in 2012,
yeah,
you heard all these fanboys who thought, well, the next Star Wars movie, Episode 7, it's going to be like a Disney Channel teen musical. You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking they really should have been more worried about Fox doing that with this Fantastic Flop movie.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's beginning to sound like.
Yeah.
Before long, you're going to have Selena Gomez and Miley Cyrus doing bit cameos in this.
Yeah, but how far along pregnant will Miley Cyrus be?
They'll Photoshop her out.
Hey, look, it's Hannah Montana.
Yeah, there you go.
Battle of the Bulge.
Or
she's standing behind the counter.
Or even better yet, they'll before the climactic battle with Doomfenshmirtz, the blogger with an agenda, they'll break into song for a mighty alternate dimension musical number.
Probably something to do with the great teleport hackinator.
See, I think we're revealing way too much of the official synopsis here, and it's y'all heard it here first. That's all I'm saying.
the fun part is there's more to the story. I mean, of course, there's more to the story behind the Fantastic Flop. On the more positive side, though, there they go throwing that word around, positive.
I like how they have to throw the word more positive. It's like, yeah. It's not really positive, but it's more positive than what you've seen so far.
And in my made-up Spanish, muy positivo, which I know is completely wrong, but hey.
Well.
So is this movie. So.
Exactly. This movie does not deserve actual Spanish.
So there's my disclaimer there. This is the first Fantastic Four film to use the alternate universe angle that some of the comics like Ultimate Fantastic Four have used. Yeah, and let's look what happened to Ultimate Fantastic Four. That didn't last very long, did it?
No.
Alternate universes could explain a whole bunch of the changes that this version of the story has brought on board. See, there they go.
That to me is an admission. They say, okay, we know this movie's going to suck, but we're throwing in the alternate dimension so that we have plausible deniability that it never really happened.
See, the problem here is that might have worked for J.J. Abrams, and it's not going to work here.
Maybe if they throw in some lens flares.
I don't know if that's going to help anything.
Okay.
So Cinema Blend is saying, in fact, this is probably the best news the Fantastic Flop has playing in its favor, the alternate universes.
Yeah, they're probably right.
So, of course, while the writers, gotta use that with the official, of the Fantastic Flop reboot are at it, there's still plenty of time to throw in a gag or two to repay Marvel for not only canceling the comic component of the franchise, but also having the Punisher kill the entire cast.
I think at this point that would be euthanasia, technically.
Yeah. At this point in time, if you're going to do that, you might as well go ahead and call DCN with the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, but I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, while this is still in production, Avengers 2 Age of Ultron. We can't say Avengers 2, should we? We're supposed to say Avengers Age of Ultron, but, you know, everybody knows it's Avengers 2.
The shortcut name to it, or the short name, is Avengers 2 or Ultron. One
there you go.
We'll Disney-fy it.
Okay. Well, that came to an official wrap this past August.
Yep.
Yay, which means we're closer to it. But as is often the case with movies, especially big budget ones, reshoots are being scheduled.
I'm still waiting for my email for that.
Yeah, well, you know, I never got mine on Howard the Duck, so I wouldn't hold my breath. Okay, so the Daily Mail is reporting that reshoots for Ultrons, and they have listed a cast of characters, or cast members, that are supposedly coming back to do reshoots.
Okay.
Now they involve. Now let's keep a running tally here. Chris Hemsworth, Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man. Mark Ruffalo, the Hulk. Jeremy Renner, Hawkeye. Paul Bettany, Vision. Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow. And Tom Hiddleston.
Wasn't
Whedon saying that he wasn't going to bring Loki back at one point?
At one point, but then when they did the big Phase 3 announcement, I mean, they had no choice. I mean, they said with Ragnarok, Loki's going to be back. So, yeah.
All right, so he's coming back in, and they've all been asked to make themselves available over a two-week period in January to do some reshoots and do additional scenes.
And they're doing that at one of my favorite studios, which is on my bucket list.
Pinewood Studios?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Home of James Bond.
Yes.
Home of Muppets.
Yes.
Home of Star Wars.
Yep. Okay, so what's a name that we haven't seen on that list?
Mike Emke.
Well, I think you're going to be coming out for the extended version, right? The one that's coming on Blu-ray?
Possibly. Okay, so Eric Allen.
I'm in the deleted scenes. Okay. They've already confirmed that. I give you a hint.
Chris Evans?
Yes! You didn't even need the hint. Chris Evans and James Spader. Ultron himself. Either one of these are on that list for reshoots.
Interesting.
So you don't, it's not that surprising to see that James Spader's not on this list, because it could be like after he's defeated or before he's
right.
But it does seem kind of odd that Evans is not on that list.
Mm. I think they're doing this just to mess with El Mayimbe of Latino Review.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you've heard Al John talk about that.
Yes, okay. I've heard about him, yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah. So it does make you wonder. I mean, all joking aside, it does make you wonder, is he not on the call list simply because, hey, we don't need anything else from him? Just because all his shots, you know, we were good? Is he dead, or has he just, like, you know, decided to leave the group to go do his own thing? Maybe hunting for Winter Soldier, or, you know,
forming the new Avengers.
Yeah.
Or since this is at Pinewood Studios, he could be over trying to get a part on
Star Wars. Nothing but Star Wars.
Back in the days when SNL were good. Yes, I went there.
Unfortunately, so did I.
He's trying to get on to episode 7 or episode 8, because they've wrapped episode 7.
They could do reshoots.
Well, that's true.
So,
his X-Wing has this little shield painted on it.
That would be funny.
Kind of makes you wonder what his shield would do against a lightsaber. But, you know, that may be best answered in a different show.
That, I think, there's a group on YouTube. I know Machinica helps promote them. It's like Bat in the Sun, something like that.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah, where they do like the mashup battles.
Yes, and they just did one with Vader and Batman.
Okay.
Just
recently. And these are like with cosplayers that they do it.
The
outfits and the makeup, they all look really good. It's really professionally done.
Now they've done like Superman versus Thor, and they've done some other. That would be a good one to submit to them. Pick a Darth Maul versus Captain America.
There you go.
Or Dooku versus Captain America.
Oh, now that could be interesting. Dooku versus Cap. All right, guys, if you're listening, make that happen.
I think we should email. I might just email. Hey, this is Mike from Mighty Marvel Geeks. We got an idea for you.
You sure it's Mighty Marvel Geeks? You were a little hesitant on that at the beginning of the show.
I almost said Weeby Geeks just now, so... I think these reshoots are, it's interesting here that Evans is not a part of it. So, are these possibly reshooting an alternate option for the ending?
That's possible. They could be shooting like the after credits scene.
True.
Which, if Loki's around, that's probably what it would be setting up.
So obviously no shawarma this time.
Oh no. Well, you know, you don't want to overdo the shawarma.
Or who's to say if he's not dead? I mean, we do see in all bunch of promo shots, we do see the shield in two, three pieces. Who's to say he might not be in the hospital as well?
That's very possible. So. But that's that's just a food for thought. And I guess we will know for sure when in Avengers Age of Ultron comes out to theaters on May 1st of 2015.
Yes. Now, other news that broke today as we're recording this. Doctor Strange has been cast. So we teased a breaking news casting in the first half of the show. Well, we're going to do it again second half of the show. How about it's official? Benedict Cumberbatch will play the Sorcerer Supreme.
Okay, so let's run down the list of all the guys that have been rumored to be in talks. There was Patrick Dempsey. There was Viggo Mortensen. Yeah,
I did not hear that one either.
Jordan. God, he was my choice.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix was it?
Yep. Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Which, if we, that would have been Dr. Sparrow, if that was the case.
Captain Dr. Sparrow.
Dr. Tonto Sparrow.
Yeah. Well, all these guys would have been good. And having said that, yes, Viggo Mortensen, Aragorn was still going to be my favorite choice.
Right.
But have you watched Sherlock?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces. I'm not a regular fan of the show, but I've seen bits and pieces of it.
I think you put, like, you know, mustache and beard on Cumberbatch. I think he'll pull it off about it better than anybody else.
Yeah.
I really do, because he can put that attitude towards it.
But I think one of the best lines I saw on Facebook is, now Marvel has two Sherlocks.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Robert Downey Jr. as well. So.
Yes. So I want to see a scene between the two of them, and there's a Sherlock reference. There's got to be.
Oh, like the first time Tony meets him, and he just throws out, "Dr. Watson, I presume?"
Yes, yes, exactly.
See, I just wrote the line right there. Writing credit. Residual, Mighty Marvel Geeks. This stuff does write itself.
It does.
So, speaking of writing...
And movie characters.
Yep. Something hopefully Fox will be doing right.
Oh, God, we hope so. There is a Deadpool movie apparently in the works because, well, at least the star, Ryan Reynolds, who played it, right, you know, played him before, Deadpool, he announced the news by posting an image Thursday, which...
as we were recording.
We're recording.
Another
so this
news
is for breaking. Yeah. He puts out on his Twitter account, he puts a picture of Deadpool with, it's chimichanga time. Now, Deadpool's favorite food is chimichangas.
Yeah, but I like what Ryan Penagos did with it instead. It should have been taco, not chimichanga.
Yeah, well. But yes, apparently we are getting a Deadpool movie. That, I think, is excellent. I do like Deadpool. I like Deadpool as a character, despite the fact that he was created by Rob Liefeld. But, you know, he's been around for a while. It didn't click to me that he's been around since 1991.
Right. Well, I think the other thing I loved about the picture, too, was it was the Deadpool mask made out of ammunition shells.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant.
It is brilliant. So I'm looking forward to it. And this will also be Reynolds' first superhero movie since Green Lantern.
Which was not his fault.
No, it was not his fault.
It had a bad script.
He did about as well as could be expected, which I hated it for him. I didn't think he deserved the flack that he got for it.
Right.
But
you know, he was given a turd and he gold-plated the best he could.
Yeah, so let's see what happens with this, because the director is supposed to be Tim Miller, and Lauren Shuler Donner is also directing it. Kevin Feige is producing it.
Wow!
Yes. So this is
that's interesting.
That is interesting. Now, Fox has announced quite a while back that it has slotted Deadpool for, you know, the movie, for February 12th, 2016.
Okay.
The first half of 2016 is going to be loaded full of Marvel stuff.
There's a picture floating around showing every superhero movie from now till 2020. And 16 and 17 are jam-packed. That's all I got to say.
Yes.
So
yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to this. I can't say that I've been looking forward to all the non-Marvel, to some of the non-Marvel studios produced Marvel movies, but I am looking forward to this one.
Excellent. Well, it's about that time for our
time for free ice cream?
Nope, it's time for it is time for the new comic book picks for this will be for Wednesday, December 10th.
Okay. Well, what's your first pick?
My first pick is Guardians of the Galaxy Annual number 1.
Nice.
Most days in space aren't exactly what you would call normal, but everything seemed to be status quo today. That is until a SHIELD helicarrier showed up out of nowhere in space.
Sometime, a helicarrier in space.
It was lost in space.
Danger! Danger, Nick Fury! Danger! Oh, wait, he's not... He's not in the... Oh, wait a minute. That's Cinematic Universe. He may still be in charge there.
Sometimes you have to go outside your jurisdiction to take care of business, but this may be stretching it a bit.
Okay.
So, that's the annual.
That's no moon. That's a helicarrier. Somebody had to say that.
True.
Okay. My first pick is Nightcrawler number 9, written by Chris Claremont, one of my favorite writers, and Todd Knock. Bamfing to the aid of a friend in need, Nightcrawler finds himself in over his head when he runs afoul of the Shadow King. And things go from bad to worse when the X-Men fall under the Shadow King's sway. You know hijinks will ensue.
I did not know, but I do know.
Hijinks will ensue, Mike.
Okay. Well, I guess this one kind of ties into the fact that one of my favorite shows just went into its mid-season finale. My second pick is going to be George Romero's Empire of the Dead, Act 2, number 4.
Cool.
Continuing the legendary George Romero's undead epic, the originator of zombies, the godfather of zombies.
I'm going to make him a zombie he can't refuse.
Welcome back to New York City, years after a world-changing undead plague. Now outside forces are knocking on Manhattan's walls. What is more chilling to Barnum? The fact that she loves someone else. Or the bite mark on her wrist. Are the roaming flesh eaters growing smarter every day? Oh, Lord help us. Can the rolling bloodsuckers maintain their grip on power? Will the Southern militia pillage on the greatest city in the world? Well, they do say the South would rise again.
We going to pillage here in this Big Apple. I tell you, it's going to be dadgum good time.
This is a little zombie barbecue?
Oh, just a little bit. We'll do a dry rub, Memphis style.
little zombie toe gumbo.
There you go. For my second pick of the week is going to be Amazing X-Men number 14. With an Axis tie-in. As the events of Axis reach a boiling point, both X-Men and Avengers find themselves in precarious positions. Not the least of which are Nightcrawler and Mystique. Here's another Nightcrawler tie-in there. As this tumultuous mother and son combo reaches a point in their relationship they've never faced before.
Dun, dun, dun.
You cue the ominous music. Dun, dun, dun. It's Mother's Day. Fräulein Mother, I have gotten you a present.
My final pick for the week is Deadpool's Art of War number 3. See how I tied it into your Ryan Reynolds story?
Well, yeah, see, there you go.
You think you know war? Deadpool doesn't. By which I mean Deadpool doesn't think you know war. Interns wrote this. Not that Deadpool doesn't know war, because he does know war. But that's sort of the point. He's teaching you about war in this series. Sorry for the confusion.
Well, it's a good thing that he's not teaching us how to make chimichangas, because that would just be awkward.
Yeah.
This would be the art of Mexican food.
Tacos.
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 Okay, and for my final pick, I am tying into one of your stories from this week with Avengers World number 16. Another Axis tie-in. The Avengers team you never expected explodes into action in The Availables, Part 2. The Wrath of the Scarlet Witch is unleashed. And let's not forget Doctor Doom's heroic gambit. Will he be redeemed? Hijinks will probably ensue here, too.
Okay.
But it's just, I saw that and I'm thinking, Doctor Doom is playing the hero.
Yeah.
How messed up is that?
Well, was it? Norman Osborn at one point became a leader of one of the hero groups as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Under the Iron Patriot armor?
Yeah, I think so.
So.
But still, I mean, he's Doom. Not Doomfenshmirtz, but Doom. The real Doom. The I'm going to rule the world from my medieval castle in Latveria. Doom. Doom does not blog. He rules, and other people blog about it.
True. And on that note, I have to call it a wraps for this week. Check us out on Twitter, Eric at Uncle Servo, myself at Marvel Geeks. You could catch Eric during the week on Sorcom Review on Sorcerer Radio as well. And catch him and the rest of the gang on Friday nights on WDW After Dark. And of course, you could catch this show if you've been listening on Sorcerer Radio and want to listen to it again. You could download the show through iTunes or Stitcher on Sundays or just
and
stream
if you
it.
If you do, be sure to give us a good rating. Like,
please.
6-7 stars would be nice.
Yeah. And we usually release the show, if you catch the reference, at 6:16 in the morning.
I see what you did there.
So, until next week, we say thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Until then, I think it's time to go dark. We'll be right back.